early one morning when he let out the roars. Straight to his comrade's bedchamber he goes. He says, rise up, beloved comrade, let nobody know. It's a bright summer's morning, bathing we'll go. And they walked and they talked until they come to the lane. There they met with the keeper of game. He says, go back, Willie Leonard, do not venture in. There is deep and false water in the lakes of Champlain. But Willie stripped himself off, he swung the lake around. He swung to an island, not to dry ground. He says, go back, my comrade, do not venture in. There is deep and false water in the lakes of Champlain. Sister arose, straight to her mother's bedchamber she goes. She says, mother, oh mother, I've had a true dream. And I dreamed I saw Willie in the cold watery stream. And it was early next morning, Willie's mother was there. She was wringing up her hands, tearing her hair. She says, mother, oh mother, was nobody nigh? Not to venture their lives, but beyond darling. So we'll all go down to Martin's by the shore. Hire us a small boat, as we've done before. We'll row the dark waters all around and around, till we see if Willie Leonard's dead body can be found. Sight, there'd be 24 young men, all dressed in white, were taken to the graveyard, laying in the clay, and say, farewell, Willie, and go weeping away. Or to see Willie's sister would grieve your heart sore, to see Willie's mother would grieve your heart more, to see Willie's true love would give your heart pain. There is deep and false water in the lakes of Champlain.
Tour, and I suddenly had an incredible moment of excitement in that second instrumental verse at the beginning there. I completely forgot who I am. It was great. So I said, what am I doing? It's good. That was an English version of an American version of an English version of an Irish song, which makes it folk music, I think. The only thing missing from it is a raffle, really. I'm often asked, you know, what folk music really is, and after years of playing folk clubs, I have to say that the true definition of folk music is music that accompanies a raffle. Thank you.
down, come down from your mountain, Jehovah. My neck is terribly stiff. Hitch up your robes and your raiments, Jehovah. Come down to the foot of your cliff. Or drink from the source that was always beneath you. Drink from my wonderful font. You know, paradise is right here on earth, Jehovah. What more could we possibly want? Come down to amongst friends, Jehovah. Come down and sit at your ease. Walk through the woods and the valleys, Jehovah. Sail upon glistening seas. I saw what you learned to the children, Jehovah. And listen to what they have to say. They say paradise is right here on earth, Jehovah. Not tomorrow, but right here today. And devil, come up from your fiery furnace. Come up and show us your face. There is nothing you can teach us of evil and hatred we don't already have in this place. There is nothing so evil as a man in his mischief. Nothing so lost or insane. Bring your demons up to so we know it's not you, but it's us who must carry the blame. Oh, it's us who must live with the shame. Come down from your mountain, Jehovah. Come down and be with us here. Heaven and hell and the life ever after, it is such a beguiling idea. But I smile here on earth. Much richer, Jehovah, richer than you'll ever know. And when it comes time to leave it behind, we just close our eyes and let go.
The song was recorded. I'm very pleased you wrote that song. It would have taken me a while to get around to that, I think. I'm having a very good time. It's fair to say, I'm enjoying myself immensely in this world. And I get to play with fantastic musicians like, of course, Mr. Andy Cutting. I've also, over the last couple of years, been working with Alistair Anderson, who is a great concertina player and Northumbrian piper, and a lovely man, and probably the leading authority on the music of the northeast of England. For 30 years he worked with a trio of traditional musicians who were collectively known as the Shepherds. They were Joe Hutton, Will Taylor and Will Atkinson. They played Northumbrian pipes, fiddle and harmonica. And they were called the Shepherds. It wasn't a fanciful band name. They were actually called the Shepherds because, ladies and gentlemen, they were shepherds. I like that. I don't think you'll find any of the Beatles actually were prior to forming the band Beatles. So these guys were wonderful, and Alistair travelled with them and played music with them. And Will Atkinson, the harmonica player, really caught my imagination. Alistair would play tunes from him and talk about him. I never met him. Andy played with him and knew him. He was astonishing. He was amazing. He used to play the melodeon in his youth, and then at the age of 50, he had children who were growing up, and he decided the children should be playing music, and he didn't have a lot of money, so I like to imagine he went into Anik on the bus and he bought a little cheap Chinese harmonica to encourage the kids so they'd have something to play. And on the bus on the way back, he tried it out, and the children went into accountancy, I think. Because they certainly never got the harmonica. He took it up at the age of 50 and he played every day of his life until 2 days before he died in hospital at the age of 95, which is a damn good advertisement for the harmonica as a calculation. They've been playing together, Alistair and these guys, for about 15 years, and Alistair and Will were having a session, and Will played a tune that Alistair hadn't heard before. And he said, "That's a good one. Will, where did you get that?" He said, "I can tell you exactly where I first heard that tune." And he proceeded to do so. He said it was a farm called Roseden, and it was at a harvest supper, what they call a kirn supper in the northeast. And he described who was there and what was going on. And Alistair said, "Well, that must have been a long time ago. Well, when was that?" He said, "Well, it was 1916. 72 years previous to the engagement." And he remembered it perfectly. And he remembered it so perfectly because they only lived there for 6 months. It was the First World War, of course. And his father was fighting overseas. He and his mother were allowed to live in the Tithe cottage, which went with his father's job as farm labourer, so long as he was fighting overseas. And then they got a telegram to say he'd been killed. So they were given a week's notice to get out. Sensitive, huh? Moved in at Roseden with an aunt and uncle, and they stayed there for 6 months until Will's mother could find a job in service. I thought that was an amazing story about an amazing man. So I wrote a song for him. So this is called Will Atkinson, and the tune is actually the tune in question, Will Atkinson's Schottische. And then we'll play you a tune that I learned from a piccolo player called Billy Ballantyne. Which is called the Kiel de Schottische. Exactly where I learned this tune, it was at Roseden and at the harvest supper. Uncle Dodie played the fiddle, Billy played the box, and they laughed and drank and sang like there's no war on. I have shepherded these hills, I've been a rabbit catcher, I've changed every roadside from Anecdote to Craston, and I always love to play and to watch the people dance. In me who's a cycle 30 miles to get the chance. Now my father was in Flanders fighting with the Fusiliers. Me and Mam were at the cottage till the telegram appeared. Then they gave us 1 week's notice, there was little time for tears. Uncle Dodie, you know, he took us in and roared. I have shepherded these hills, I've been a rabbit catcher, I've changed every roadside, panic down to Craster, and I always love to play and to watch the people dance. Why, in me who's have cycled 30 miles to get the chance. This tune, it was at Rosen, and at the harvest supper, I was just a boy of 8 then, and I hadn't learnt to play, but I whistled in for Auntie, and we danced it the next day, all around the kitchen table there, we danced the cares away, all around the kitchen table there at Rosen. I have shepherded these hills, I've been a rabbit catcher, I've changed every roadside, from Manic down to Craster, and I always love to play and to watch the people dance. Why, in me who's have cycled 30 miles to get the chance, and I'd watch them as they'd rant, and I'd watch them as they'd twirl never once. I thought these tunes would take me halfway round the world. Thank you.
vermin town, drinking the blood red wine. Where will I get me a good mariner to sail seven ships of mine? Up and spoke an aged lord, sat at the king's right knee. Patrick Spencer's the best mariner that ever sailed on the sea. The king has written a broad letter, signed it with his own hand. Sent it on to Patrick Spence, walking along the strand. The very first line Patrick read, a light laugh then gave he. The very next line Patrick read, a salt tear blinded his eye. Who is this has done this deed, told the king on me, to send me out this time of year, to sail along the sea. Make haste, my merry men all, a good ship sails in the morn. No, alas, my master dear, I fear a deadly storm. The late Chestrina saw the new moon, the old moon in her arm. And I fear, my master dear, the ship will come to harm. Sails in the morn, whether it be windy, whether it be wet, whether there's a deadly storm. And I have not sailed a league, but barely nine, when wind and wet and hurricane come blowing from behind. Where will I get me a good sailor to take the helm in hand? While I go up to the topmast high, see if I can spy land. The very first step Patrick took, the water had come to his knee. The very next step Patrick took, he was drowned in the salt, salt sea. Scots lords that never, never more come home. Long, long may the ladies sit, their fans all in their hand, till they see Sir Patrick's pens come sailing to the land. Long, long may the good nurse sit, the baby on her knee, till she sees a good Scots lord come to pay the nurse's fee. Half more, to Abagore it's 50 fathoms deep. There lies good Sir Patrick Spens, the little lord at his feet.
Of course, the definition of perfect pitch, which is and you throw the banjo into the skip and it lands on the accordion. This is a tune from an old-timey song called The Wind and... No, Cold Rain and Snow. Something else could complete. And I love the tune. And I love the tune because of the scale that the tune is in. Now, you don't get this kind of information at a Black Sabbath gig. The scale fascinates me because it does not have a third. It doesn't have a major third or a minor third. So it doesn't go. And it doesn't go. It goes. Like that. So it's a pentatonic, meaning five note scale, with no third. I told you didn't get that at Black Sabbath. I loved the tune, so I thought I'd use the tune, but I'd find some other words. And a friend of mine gave me a recording of a man called Banjo Bill Cornette. And Banjo Bill Cornette was from Kentucky. And the particular tune that my friend gave to me was called Look Up, Look Down That Lonesome Road. And I thought it was absolutely incredible, because it was sort of without time, if you like. He would sing a line and then he would answer it back on the banjo. And it was the blackest banjo music that I've ever heard, including this record called Black Banjo Songsters of North Carolina and Virginia. So you don't get this at a Black Sabbath gig either, let me tell you. I thought to myself, well, this guy is obviously a black banjo player. So we recorded this on the album True Stories, and I was writing the sleeve notes, and I got this from Black Banjo Songster, Banjo Bill Cornette, and I thought to myself, I don't actually know that. I don't know that that's true. So I looked him up and discovered that Banjo Bill Cornette was not black, he was white. He was actually a member of the Kentucky State House of Representatives. Enormously successful politically, personally, socially, and totally into the banjo. And when he had something he really wanted to make a big point of politically, he would take his banjo to the State House and go down on the floor and play the banjo and make the political point. I would love to see any of our politicians do that. You know, I mean, I'd start to believe in politics again if there were banjos involved. So, Banjo Bill Cornette, fantastic, unbelievably interesting musician and performer. He actually died on a gig playing the banjo, and he was not shot. Thank you. day that you turned your back on me was the day you lost a friend. But the loss of one may be the gain in two, and again 10,000 more, 10,000 more, 10,000 more, again 10,000 more. Shoe your pretty little foot, who's gonna glove your hand? Who's gonna kiss your red and ruby lips? Who's gonna be your man? Be your man, be your man. Who's gonna be your man? Be your man, be your man. Who's gonna be your man? Be your man. Be your man, be your man. Who's gonna be your man?
Thank you so much. I'm gonna play you a tune and a fiddle tune. One of my real serious areas of interest is what happens to British music when it goes to the States. I love seeing how the songs change. In some cases they improve and get, you know, really sort of refined and whittled down, and in other cases they kind of go a bit... And, this is a version of a ballad. It's a version of a ballad called The Grey Cock or The Lover's Ghost. And this particular version comes from the singing of Frank Prophet from North Carolina, who was a beautiful singer and a fretless banjo player, indeed a fretless banjo maker. The song itself is intensely sad. It's about a young woman whose lover dies, and she thinks that's it, she's all on her own, and then one night his ghost comes to her, and she knows it'll be the last time that they ever spend time together, so she says to the morning cockerel, please, whatever you do, don't crow before day. And of course, it's a folk song, so at 3:30 in the morning, the cockerel crows its bloody head off. And it is fantastically sad, but in this North Carolina version, the cockerel's behavior is introduced by the line, this chicken proved false-hearted. It's really hard to maintain an atmosphere of tragedy and loss when you've just sung about a false-hearted chicken. In fact, you can't do it, let's face it. June Tabor used to sing a British sea ballad, which was one of these heroic songs. It was marvellous, but it all used to go horrendously wrong when she had to sing the line, the queen, she must have semen. That was it. So we'll play you an instrumental version of Pretty Crowing Chicken. And then a tune from Kentucky, a fiddle tune from Kentucky. Hiram's tune. Thank you. Properly. It's actually really out of tune. So I ask Andy for an ode. You know, I said, give me a G, would you? And he gives me about four of them, and I have to average it out. It wouldn't work. Tune that I wrote, which is called Greystar, and then sing you a song which I was going to write. I've been meaning to record this song actually for years, and it was recently record Raising Sam, which I'm sure is a great joy to the man who wrote it about 30 years ago. Actually, yeah, 30 years ago at least. And shortly after that, it became the music for a major advertisement in the States, which kind of, you know, negates recording it at the moment. But it's not as bad as what happened to a friend of mine, Ed Gerhardt, who lived in the States, and he and I were going tour in Japan together, and he really wanted to impress the Japanese people, so he learned this traditional Japanese tune on the guitar, and he made a beautiful arrangement of it. And we got to Japan, and we were in Tokyo recovering from jet lag, and the dustbin men were out, you know, and the dust carts in Japan actually play this tune. So it's kind of worse than ice cream vans, that really. Somebody said this saw me swinging the world by the tail, bouncing over a white cloud, killing the blue.
Sort of sentimental, slow Irish version. This is not a sentimental, slow Irish version. The song's actually from Louisiana, and I learned this from a band called the Louisiana Honey Drippers, who were a Cajun bluegrass band who recorded one record for Ahuli in the middle 60s. And I'm very proud of my copy of this record. The picture on the sleeve is actually faintly terrifying. It looks like a photograph taken as an advertisement to demonstrate why you should never, under any circumstances whatsoever, sleep with your own sister. Really, really scary. What happened in Ireland in the late 1840s, you know, was the potato famine, of course, and there was this massive diaspora, I guess. People just fled Ireland so they didn't die, and they ended up in some very unlikely places, including in the many, many thousands in the States, but many, many, many thousands in the Deep South. All the levees and the canals which stopped New Orleans from sinking, most of those were actually dug by Irish labour in the 1850s. And 10,000 Irishmen died doing that work, for which they get a very small monument on the central reservation of one of the uptown roads in New Orleans. It's kind of bizarre. You're driving along, you see this little Celtic cross, and it's actually a monument to 10,000 people. A little odd. When the Civil War broke out, the Union Navy sailed into the Gulf of Mexico, up the Mississippi River, and they took New Orleans right off at the beginning of the war, because it was of such strategic value. And lots of Irish people fled at that point. Some of them went to Mexico, lots of Irish people in Mexico. So much so that Wright Cooter has just made a record with the Chieftains about the Irish in Mexico. Wacky. This young man fled north from New Orleans, and he found himself in the swamps and bayous on the edge of Lake Pontchartrain. During the intermission, the mighty Simpson merchandising empire will be cracked up by the door there at the back. His name is Terry, and he will fulfill your every need and desire, and Christmas presents and everything.
Come on. Tired of your city, the streets
are unkind. I see lovers out walking, but I never meet mine. It's cold as a proverb, hard as a stone. 10,000 stood around me, and me all alone. Oh, I once had the true love, but not anymore. I gave my heart gladly like never before. But now she won't have me, she says we are through. That's alright, my darling, that's alright for you. I live single, keep bachelor's hall. I wish I were a poet and could write a fine hand. I would write you a letter that you'd understand. I wish I could spend just 10 minutes with you. I wish I'd stop wishing for what I can do. Oh, you wrote me a letter, you say you found a new man. I will dance at your wedding, I'll sing with the band. I'll drink to the bridegroom as if I don't care. And if I don't get home, I'll sleep on the stairs. Tired of this city, the streets are unkind. I see lovers out walking, but I never meet mine. I try to forget her, I wish I knew how. For I once loved her dearly, and I don't hate her. It's a record about an alcoholic banjo player called Charlie Poole, who had a band called Charlie Poole and the North Carolina Ramblers, and drank himself to death. It's a great record. It's called High, Wired and Handsome.
So that's what Dick Canetta's been doing recently. Traditional music is, I think, full of rewrites and parodies and changes, and sometimes you can't actually tell what comes first. But one thing that particularly gets batted back and forth are hymns. So you can have these wonderful traditional tunes which people nick and write hymns to, and then you have hymns which are great tunes, so people nick the tunes and write or make up their own traditional music and words to them. And then there are hymns which are just straight parodied, and those are some of my favourites. There is always a massive tendency when times are really hard for proselytizing Christians to go out there and say, look, I know it's wrong right now, but when you die, it'll be great. Which is, you know, it's okay. I think it's an okay thing to say. So, during the Depression in the States, there were lots and lots of songs written about how it was all going to be great, including some quite political ones, which really, really came close to being wonderful. There's a fantastic song about heaven called There'll Be No Distinction There. And it's just heartwarming, it really is. It says, there'll be no distinction there, there'll be no distinction there, for we'll all be white in that heavenly world. Near miss, some would say. And then there are all the songs about poverty and starvation, which, you know, gave rise to great songs like, I heard the voice of a pork chop saying, come unto me and rest. I love that. I might have to sing that just so I can announce the title of it more often. Anyway, this is a parody of a hymn, which is a beautiful hymn called Palms of Victory. It truly is a beautiful hymn. This is a parody of it from the point of view of a farmer during Depression. This is called Depression. This is called Pans of Biscuits.
against the tree, and his poor old head was aching. Hung down on his knee, if I am compelled to leave here, surely I shall die. This land has seen the best of me, I heard the farmer cry. Hands of biscuits, bowls of gravy, hands of biscuits, we shall have. Hands of biscuits, bowls of gravy, hands of biscuits, we shall have. Hands of biscuits, bowls of gravy, hands of biscuits, we shall have. Hands of biscuits, bowls of gravy, hands of biscuits, we shall have.
Thank you so much. I'm going to sing you one of the big ballads now. Comes out of this looking good. Starts with the premise. Or rather, the scenario of a young man who simultaneously courts two sisters. It's not going to be a happy ending, is it? So he courts them for a while, and then he tells the younger one that he loves her, and the two sisters go for a walk by the river, and the elder one pushes the younger one in, and she drowns. So far, so good. She floats down the river until she comes to the miller's dam, and the miller fishes her out and lays her beautiful body on the bank, and then he and his son are looking at this beautiful downed corpse, and a musician comes along. It doesn't reflect well on musicians. In the old versions, he's a harper. In the middle period versions, like this one, he's a fiddle player. And in the later versions, he's a banjo player. And they really draw the line at that in this case. At her beautiful drowned body, and is he filled with compassion and moved and saddened? No, he looks at me and says, "Christ, you could make a really good fiddle out of her." So he does.
There were two sisters lived in one bower, oh, the wind and the rain. A young man come to be their wooer, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. Johnny gave the youngest a gay gold ring, oh, the wind and the rain. Didn't give the older anything, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. They were walking by the stream, oh, the wind and the rain. The elder pushed the younger in, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. Pushed her in the river to drown, oh, the wind and the rain. Watched her as she floated down, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. Until she come to the miller's dam, oh, the wind and the rain. Father, this swims a swan, Brian can drift the wind after rain. Manila fished her out with his drifting hook. Oh, the wind and the rain took the lady from the brook, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. And he laid her on the bank to dry. Oh, the wind and the rain, a fiddling fool come passing by, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. Why, there come the fiddler fair. Oh, the wind and the rain. Hey, the fiddle bow of the long yellow hair, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. And he made the neck of a long leg bones. Oh, the wind and the rain made fiddle pegs of a little finger bones, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. And it made a little fiddle of breastbone. Oh, the wind and the rain, whose sound would melt a heart of stone, crying the dreadful wind and the rain. But the only tune the fiddle would play, oh, the wind and the rain, though it played at night, was crying the dreadful wind and the rain. in New Orleans for 3.5 years, which was a very entertaining experience indeed. I lived on Bourbon Street for the first couple of years, which is a bit like moving to Glasgow and living on Socky Hall Street, you know. It's a kind of mad thing to do, really, and it was a bit like being at a party for 3.5 years. It wasn't until you finally actually got home that you realised how much damage you'd done. But you were glad you'd been there. Bourbon Street is... at one end it's all bars and gay clubs and strip joints and all kinds of stuff. And at the other end it's just a kind of nice neighbourhood. And I lived in the first block of a nice neighbourhood, which was good, and I lived next door but one to a lady who was called Miss Dixie. Miss Dixie, you see, everybody in the South is called Miss so-and-so, including some of the men, by the way. So the first line of the song says, "Someone's funeral, old Miss Do is bouncing through the quarter." Miss Do is a transvestite entertainer who died when I lived in New Orleans, and she had a great jazz send-off. So, Miss Dixie was a very elderly lady. She started and ran the first gay club in New Orleans, which was called the Pussycat Club. And she had an all-girl jazz band there who were really, really good. And for that band for a long time. There's a lady called Miss Lily. And when I lived on Bourbon Street, Miss Lily was living upstairs at Miss Dixie's because she was very old and very unwell. And she could no longer afford to live with her husband, who was an English actor called Henry. And I encountered Henry a lot. I was struggling to describe what Henry looked like until just recently. He wore this absolutely hideous cardigan. Didn't matter if it was like 98 degrees and 100% humidity, he would have this cardigan on, which I still struggle to describe, except if you saw Sting on Later with June. I think that was Henry's cardigan he was wearing. I think Sting imagines it makes him look like a folk singer. So there you go. The only difference between the two cardigans is that Henry, you could tell what he'd been eating by the way. His cardigan. He was always, always pissed whenever you saw him. And he would preface every statement with, "Dear boy." And nobody liked him very much because nobody bothered to take the time to listen to anything that he had to say. And he would get very drunk because he was very unhappy. He really loved Lily.
Despise me, but what can
Lily comes back from charity and we carry her up the stairs. Henry, he's too old to help, he just stands and swears. Someday soon she won't come back, nothing is more certain. I shall be a lonely actor waiting for the curtain. Dear boy, the pussycat, she worked for Miss Dixie. Some people thought she was one of the girls. Oh, you should have seen us. So handsome, so pretty, she was always my lily, the flower of my world. Dear boy, why do you come back here? The world is your oyster. What makes you stay? One morning we wake up and age has us prisoner. If it wasn't for Lily, I'd be far away. Hustlers hustle frat boys who are chasing down cheap thrills. Fry their brains with hurricanes, pay with sweaty bills. Disco blares from double play, there's a shuffle and a second line beat. Henry shambles home again, down to Cater Street. Did it bap ba do ba da ba dee doo. Do ba dee da ba 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 dee doo. Did it bap ba do. BBC 4 broadcast of our band set from the Cambridge Folk Festival. But, good. I was watching it with my little girl Molly, who's 4 and a half, and she was there, and she might have seen her briefly. She was sitting next to me on the settee, and she was singing along with the choruses, particularly the chorus of this. And they left in some of the tuning up stuff. All that business. And I was watching it and I was thinking, God, you know, actually, I like that. I think it's good fun. And Molly suddenly went,
tune without laughing. To Gary, Indiana, Bethlehem, PA, I see the sinter dust of gossip, I smell the smoke on the Swansea Bay, and all the mills in Sheffield, they're old steel just the same, but a furnace never burns so bright down East Common Lane. Huts long gone where I first heard the leaving song. John and Dave and Mo, they sang many's the sad refrain. And I listened hard between the lines. I longed for love and hard, hard times. Followed the road and read the signs that led me home again. I've been to Gary, Indiana, Bethlehem, PA. I've seen the center dust of Johnson. I smell the smoke on Swansea Bay. And all the mills in Sheffield, they're all steel just the same. But a furnace never burns so bright down East Common Lane. I hear the shunting ghosts of goods yards by the iron stone school. Yards of weeds and gravel, but the echoes crash and roar. Across the bridge, across the years, I hear them clear and plain. All the way from the Roland Road to East Common Lane. I've been to Gary, Indiana, Bethlehem, PA. I've seen the cinder dust of Johnson. I smell the smoke on Swansea Bay. And all the mills in Sheffield, they're all steel just the same. But a furnace never burns so bright down East Common Lane. Harry and Joyce, they took in strays, they took care of my mother. Cut the hedges, did the shopping, said it was no bother. Kindness of the finest, crimson skies at dead of night, and a kid on the corner waiting for the bullies, spoiling for a fight. Shotgun house on Bourbon Street, just down the block from Jean Lafitte's. I sit on the stoop with a friend of mine, watch parades go by. I'd already left a score of towns, Delta Hot, Great Lakes, cold. Didn't know I was looking, but I hadn't found a place I could grow old. I've been to Gary, Indiana, Bethlehem, PA. I've seen the cinder dust concert, I smell the smoke on Swansea Bay, and all the mills in Sheffield, they're all steel just the same, but a furnace never burns so bright down East Common Thank you.
notice how he kept his sneeze till after the last call? That's professionalism. You may know, called Mason's Arms on Strawberry Bank, Cartmel Fell, and sat in there one day with Dick Gochan in about 1975, and he wrote the words out for this song, which I'd heard him sing. Thank you. distant, far distant, lies Foyer's the brave, no tombstone memorial shall hallow his grave. For his bones they lie scattered on the rude soil of Spain. Young Jamie Foyer in battle was slain.
Sheffield Apprentice, and it's, which of course means it's from North Carolina. It's actually an English broadside ballad which travelled to the States and became quite popular and widespread over there. This particular version was collected from a lady called Mary Gibson in Marion, North Carolina, on September 7th, 18. You don't get that, you see? Yeah, cool. You don't get that at a Black Sabbath gig either. 1918, Cecil Sharp collected this, and it's in his book, which is called English Folk Songs in the Southern Appalachian.
Her gold and her silver, her houses and her land.
quite a solemn vow. To wed no one but Betsy, my beauteous daughter May. Forgive me, dearest mistress, she has my heart betrayed. Followed after to view the lilies fair, gold rings from off her fingers as she did pass me by. Well, she slipped them in my pocket before I must die. Oh, the sheriff, he has taken me, was useless to say. He took me up to justice, tried me for the man. He took me up to justice and to the hanging tree. Oh Lord, reward my mistress, she surely has wronged me. And the people all come flocking to see me end my life. And there stood my pretty Betsy, my old intended wife. Farewell to sin and sorrow, I'll bid this world adieu. Likewise, my pretty Betsy, I die for loving you. And I fell deeply in love with it. I thought it was fantastic. And years ago I was fooling around with the banjo, as you do, and I discovered just this. Oh, that's the same as Mississippi John Hurt's guitar version of that song. So, I bet a song is contemporary with a banjo version. So my head went off, and I thought, right, history of American folk music in one song. I can do it, I know I can. The song's called Stagger Lee, and in all the folk song books, all the people who it was collected from, they were asked, well, you know, who's this about? Where does it come from? And they were all wrong. It was really interesting, and they all had fantastic theories about it. Oh, he's from Memphis, he was a riverboat gambler. He was from New Orleans and blah blah. And he was actually from St. Louis, this guy. And I know this because there's a great book come out a couple of years ago called Stagger Lee Shot Billy, written by a man called Cecil Brown. And it's a history of the song, it's a history of the real events, and a reflection on the sociology behind it all. Stagger Lee, his name was Lee Shelton, and he was a pimp, a black pimp in New Orleans. A very well-dressed man, very well-dressed indeed. He wore spats and a white Stetson hat with an embroidered hatband with his favorite girl's name embroidered into it. And on Christmas night in 1895, he was drinking in a bar called Maple Leaf Club when a friend of his, in inverted commas, came in through the door. His friend's name was Billy Lyons, and Billy Lyons had turned to his friend before they went into the bar and said, "Look, have you got a knife I can borrow?" So he was obviously in a good mood, you know. Did any of you ask for a knife when you came in here tonight? No, probably not. So he and Stagger Lee were drinking at the bar together, and some kind of altercation occurred. And they began to argue, and Stagger Lee leaned forward and he took Billy Lyon's hat off, which was a grey derby hat, and he whacked him about a bit with it. And Billy Lyon's took Stagger Lee's hat off, which was his white Stetson hat, and he said, "Excuse me, dear boy, give me my hat back." And Billy Lyon's didn't give him his hat back, so he shot him dead. Now, there were 5 black-on-black shootings in St. Louis on Christmas night in 1895. We don't know anything about any of the others, but for some reason, we still know this one. So, I kind of rewrote it. Some of the truth and hopefully not lose the poetry. Thank you very much for tonight. I'm going to finish with this.
Two little babies, a darling, loving wife. He's a bad man, cruel Stagley. Stag says, "What do I care about? It's two little babes, your darling, loving wife. You don't mess with my Stetson hat, and I'm bound to take your life." He's a bad man, cruel Stagley. Mrs. DeLyons come screaming and crying, "I don't believe it." So Stag and Billy, they've been friends since a long, long time ago. He's a bad man, cruel Stagley. Oh, Stagley shot Billy, shot him just long time. He said, "Stroll back, people want to watch old Billy die." And he's a bad man, cruel Stagley. Way down in St. Louis, in a place called the Maple Leaf Club, every step you walk with Billy Lyons. Blood is a bad man, cruel Stagley. War Stagley shot Billy in 1895. Billy Lyons in the graveyard, Stagley still alive. He's a bad man, cruel Stagley. Oh, early in the morning, I heard my bulldog bark. Stagley, Billy Lyon fighting in the dark. He's a bad man, cruel Stagley.
occurs to me when I'm talking about these songs, talking about, you know, when they were collected, and talking about Will Atkinson and how, you know, he was born in 1908. Song is collected in 1918. My dad was 19 years old in 1918. He was still in the fighting in the First World War. Which all makes it much closer for me. My dad would have been obviously 110 this year. Well, you were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the heart. You'd rather be riding your Norton, going fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money, couldn't even hold a job. When your grammar school days were over, it was 1917, and you did the right and proper thing. You were just 18, you were never mentioned in dispatches. You never mentioned what you did or saw. You were just another keen young man in the mud and stink of war. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the heart. You'd rather be singing the Pirate King, fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money, couldn't even hold a job. You came back from the Great War with the pips of a captain's rank and a German officer's Luger and no money in the bank. Your family sent you down the coal mine to learn to be captain there, but you didn't stand it very long. Needed the light in the air. Oh, you were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the heart. You'd rather be watching the fulmars fly, fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. Couldn't even hold a job. When the Second War came along, you knew what should be done. You would re-enlist to teach young men the booby trap and the gun. When they sent you home to Yorkshire with a crew and a Lewis gun, till you could save your seaside town from the bombers of the Hun. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the heart. You'd rather be finding the nightjar's nest or fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. Couldn't even hold a job. When my mother came to your door with a baby in her arms and her big hurt boy just 9 years old trying to keep her from harm. If you had been a practical man, you would have been forewarned. You would have seen that it never would work, and I would have never been born. You were never any good with money. Proper work in your seaside town, so we moved here looking for a job. You were storming at the power station just before I came along. Nobody talked about how you quit,
but I know that's what you did. My mother said you were a selfish man, and I was your selfish kid. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job, not steady enough for the office, not high enough for the heart of your Norton. It was soon gone, along with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money, couldn't even hold a job. You showed me Eyebright and the Hedgerow, Speedwell and Traveler's Joy. You showed me how to use my eyes when I was just a boy. And you taught me how to love a song and all you knew of nature's ways. These are the greatest gifts I've ever known, and I use them every day. You were never any good with money, you couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office, maybe not hard enough for the heart. You'd rather be riding your Norton, going fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with